Hey, if you're looking for a great holiday gift for the Boston Celtics fan in your life, try my book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the Seas. I went all the way back to the beginning of Boston Celtics history and picked two players at each position, plus two wild cards and two coaches, to put together an all-star team of all Boston Celtics greats. It was a very difficult process. I left some very important people off, but in the end, I think I've put together an amazing all-star team from Boston Celtics history. So go to wherever you can buy books, online or in stores, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the Seas, is now available. So go ahead and get a copy for the Boston Celtics fan in your life. We are picking every game on the schedule. That's right. The boys are back in town. The Rain and Jays ride again for a Pick Every Game podcast right now on this Thursday, Locked On Celtics. Millies, let's go!
Jays back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This is the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, 17 banners, way up in the rafters, J. King, John Corrales, and Sam Jam Packard. Focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way.
Oh yeah, baby, I am extra excited. Can you hear it in my voice? I love getting together with the guys. I'm John Corrales, host of the Locked On Celtics podcast, ready for a full Rain and Jays Pick Every Game podcast. If you're new, every year, I, Sam Packard, and Jay King, the two former co-hosts of this show who have gone on to The Athletic to host a podcast there, we get together and pick every game on the schedule. This time around, we did half the schedule because there's only half the schedule to pick. But it was fun. There's plenty of swearing. There's plenty of drinking. That's what we do when we get together. I really, honestly, love doing this podcast. It sucks that the business took those guys over to The Athletic, but they're doing a great job. And frankly, Celtics fans are getting two great podcasts, I think, rather than one great podcast. I know I would rather have all three of us together, but look, you get two great podcasts. And so I think that's better for everybody. And every once in a while, we get together, and it's a good time. So new listeners, this is a fun departure from what we usually do here, but I hope you enjoy it and subscribe. Regular listeners, I hope you give this show 5 stars and a good written review. Just a couple of quick notes from Celtics media availability. On Wednesday, Romeo Langford spoke. He got the hard cast off his hand. He's still probably a month or two away from really full basketball activities. So nothing groundbreaking, just a quick update on Romeo Langford. We'll see what he does. And if you want to shoot me a question for tomorrow's mailbag, jcorrales@masslive.com, you can do that. But you can bet that it's going to take Romeo Langford a long time to just get back into the swing of things. We'll see what happens if he can work his way back into the rotation. Nothing else really groundbreaking from the media availability. Frankly, we're waiting for basketball, and it's going to come back next week with the preseason, and we'll start to see some performances. But until then, we are going to trudge on. So today is a wonderful day, a fantastic day. I would say a perfect day to get the boys back together. This entire show is me, Jam, and Jay picking games on the schedule. I should say, this is part one of it. Part two is going to be the Friday podcast on Anything is Pottable. So half of the picks are today. The other half are tomorrow on Anything Is Potable. So we're splitting it up. Makes sense, right? Can't just do it all on one podcast. And it doesn't all fit on one podcast. So here's part one. Me, Jay, Jam, let's go.
The people have come to this podcast with expectations. Speaking of expectations, they have come here to hear the Rain and Jays pick every damn game on the schedule. That's what we should be doing.
That's quite a task, and I'm ready for it.
You ready for it?
I've got the schedule out in front of me.
I also do.
I've got the schedule in front of me.
We have three schedules open in front of us.
I've got a Warriors t-shirt on.
The free Warriors PR t-shirt that they handed out when we went over there.
Yep.
I remember that.
I can only wear it in my house because I don't want to represent any NBA logos outside of my apartment.
It's a great shirt to wear to bed.
I've got a beef with Warriors PR.
Oh, of course you do. Of course
they're
you got
to be too nice. They are way too nice.
They're very accommodating.
I'll be taking a nap after flying in to San Francisco or Oakland, wherever, taking a nap, and I'll get woken up by a phone call from Warriors PR. Hey, do you need anything? You'll be standing there at the game. No lie. Every like 3 or 4 seconds. Hey, how are you doing? You need anything? Like, guys, back the fuck off. I just told you I don't need anything. You're too nice.
Warriors PR will hand, like, courier your media package.
I'm totally kidding.
To you.
They're pros and they're awesome at their job.
They're amazing.
It's incredible what they do.
Anytime I go to San Francisco, I don't stay in a hotel. I, like, stay at a friend's house, and they will send a guy on a bicycle to deliver the media packet with my credential to anywhere in the city, anywhere in the Bay Area. That's how far Warriors PR will go.
That's how it goes everywhere.
They're good. No, Warriors PR is good. The free t-shirts, beer after the games. That's always one of the 4 or 5 road trips that has beer after games. So shout out to them. That's always fun. All right. But we, as Jay swigs his beer, I am more sophisticated. I've got wine. Part of the NBA culture.
Packard's got some beer.
A brew. Nice.
Oh, two brews.
Two beers. Double fisting. I like it. So we're going to start, gentlemen, opening night, the 23rd of December. It's like 2 weeks away. Milwaukee Bucks. What say you? Boston Celtics hosting the Milwaukee Bucks. Jam Packard, you're the professional sports fan here.
No fans. It's going to be a big L for the Celtics. Giannis, early exit from the playoffs, coming out pissed off. Drew Holiday, also angry for some reason. I just think the Bucks are quite good, and I think that's going to be a loss for the Celtics.
I've got Celtics winning that one, and there's going to be a total overreaction to Grant Williams, the starting power forward. He is going to have a classic Grant Williams game where he takes like 2 charges on Giannis, where he goes 0-for-3 from the 3-point arc, where he scores 2 scores 2 points, grabs 3 rebounds, and everyone gasses him anyway because he made winning plays.
It's always little things with him. It's always he set that nice pick that sprung Jason Tatum.
Dynamic screen setter.
And it's worthwhile. Like he does worthwhile things, and he can actually have a loud game when he doesn't do anything statistically speaking. But that's what I'm calling for opening night. Opening night is going to be a Grant Williams tour de force.
Tour de force. Ooh.
Of 2 points and 3 rebounds. And many winning plays.
A classically epic Grant Williams game. Plenty of like hustle and diving on the floor and all of that stuff. I'm on the fence here. I think I'll go with the Celtics win. And I'll also go with a big reaction, but it's going to be a big reaction because Jason Tatum's going to have like a 40-point game out of the gate. And this is going to start the Giannis, if he hasn't signed his extension, the deadline is 2 days before this game. So if he doesn't sign that extension, this is the first game. And if they lose, which I'm saying they will, we're going to see absolutely nothing about how the Celtics won this game. It's going to be, did the Milwaukee Bucks get enough help around Giannis? And Celtics fans are going to be pissed off about, like, hey, what about Jason Tatum's big game? Why aren't you talking about the Celtics? So I think that's a nice kind of trifecta there of NBA storylines.
I feel like Tatum's normally a guy who kind of eases his way into a season. Like last year when they came back from the bubble, he probably had the worst game of his life against the Bucks. At the beginning of last season, when they really started, it took him like 3 months to start playing well. I'm not sure about the Jason Tatum 40-point first game thing.
Also, John,
but that motherfucker's going to score a lot of points this year.
You didn't tell me that we're anticipating Giannis not signing his extension. I was operating in a world where he just signed his extension, and thus that was powering him to the victory.
So as of right now, we don't know, obviously. But I just read the story about how Milwaukee has gone silent about it. And I think the whole Bogdanovich Seiden train botch job is just the way they screwed that up. I think that's going to just, if I'm Giannis, I'm like, okay, I appreciate everything that you're doing, but you messed this up. You messed up Pat Connaughton's contract. Do you guys really know what you're doing? So that's where I'm like, maybe he just lets it go. And then that fuels the storyline. But obviously, that could change between now and then.
Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify.
Let's move on. Brooklyn, Kyrie Irving is going to come to Boston. Of course he will, with no fans in the building. What say you, Jay King? Let's go with Jay King.
I'm going with.
Oh, who's taking notes here?
I got the records. I can keep.
You got them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nets 107.
Oh, Celtics, we're going scores.
Celtics 104.
We know Jay's got a few drinks in because now he's starting to give scores. By the time we get to the third week, he's going to start declaring. Shemi Ojeleye has 42 points.
Yeah. That was a tour de force that time.
That was an epic podcasting performance. Okay, so you got the Celtics losing.
I've got Celtics losing. I've got Kevin Durant being awesome. I'm interested to see him play the five. And he said he was going to play some five this year at Media Week. And I swear to God, I got excited to see Kevin Durant versus Tristan Thompson because Tristan Thompson can at least somewhat guard the perimeter, and Tristan Thompson can put skinny dudes under the basket and grab offensive rebounds. So I think the Celtics getting Tristan Thompson, someone who can defend and also hit the offensive glass, is
if
such
Tristan
a big
Thompson
deal.
Is guarding KD, so... that's bad.
What?
If Tristan Thompson is guarding Kevin Durant on the perimeter, I don't think that's a good thing for the Celtics. And if they want to post up Kevin Durant on Tristan Thompson, I don't think that's a good thing for the Nets. In what situation are those
offensive rebounds, bro? They won't post up Tristan Thompson. He'll just crush dudes on the glass. If you're going to switch against Tristan Thompson, be prepared to give up offensive rebounds, soul crushing offensive rebounds.
That's fair. I don't know what KD's going to be like. I think, but the Celtics, after losing opening night, going to come back with a strong win in their building. They just can't let Kyrie win like that. Especially
the other
with...
part, you never know what Kyrie is going to feel about holidays. He has
on Christmas.
He has not always loved Christmas. I think one year he talked about how he didn't love the Christmas hoopla. But then another year, I feel like he was all about having family in town for Christmas. So,
he's not going to be in town. He's going to be in Boston, not Brooklyn.
And family probably won't be allowed with him with the NBA protocol. It could be a bad hoopla year for Kyrie.
I don't know. I feel like this is going to be the one time that Kyrie comes in and has like the most important factor in all of sports predictions, Jam Packard, is
revenge game.
Revenge.
So in Kyrie's weird warped mind, I think he's going to determine that this is some sort of revenge. I think
he's going to give a suck it to Brad Stevens after hitting a three in his in the
I think that would be awesome. That would actually be kind of funny. I think the Celtics lose this game. I think Brooklyn wins.
Kyrie, I wish the fans were there. It would have been such an electric environment.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Is it possible that fans show up outside to line the garden and boo the bus coming in?
I would hope so.
No, I would hope not. There's a pandemic out there. Stay
wearing masks, socially distanced booing, proper signage.
Socially distanced, face mask booing.
Boo from home, people. I cannot stand for.
Are they going to do Zoom? What's the in-game experience going to be like? Because they can't do the weird Zoom walls like they did in the bubble. Are they going to pump in crowd noise?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. They have to do some sort of crowd noise. They'll probably do it on the broadcast like they did in the bubble. But in the building, I just hope that I'm allowed into the building. I don't know what the official word is, but I hope I'm allowed in the building to socially distance and cover this game. And or all these games and hear everything that's said on the floor without the fans there and just be able to get that full immersive experience. I'm really looking forward to that, the potential for that. That would be fun. Anyway, moving on. This is one of those series, these baseball type multiple games in one city series. They have two games in Indiana. The next two games are the 27th and the 29th, that Sunday and Tuesday, against the Indiana Pacers.
These are all going to be classic revenge double dips where they're going to split them because of the revenge factor.
Yes, that's right.
If you sweep a team, you're like, obviously, you're the alpha in that situation. But if it's at all close, I think revenge is just going to play a huge factor in most of these double dips.
Revenge will play a factor. Jeff Teague goes back to Indiana, where he played for the Pacers. People forget about that and kicks his old teams behind.
Well, what about Kevin Pritchard's revenge on Danny Ainge for the failed sign-and-trade? Is that going to inspire the Pacers?
If anything, it's going to be Miles Turner being pissed off because Danny Ainge dragged his name through the mud for all of rumor season. And so if there's any revenge...
Miles Turner, more like Inches Turner, if you ask Danny Ainge.
Whoa. Boo.
Jam's going to chalk you up for an L on that one because
boo this man. I mean, I think the fair bet here is to split these two games, whichever one is a win and a loss, right?
Jeff Teague with 29 combined points in the two, 8 combined assists. Celtics win two.
Two. Yeah, two.
I'm also going for the Celtics sweep. Story came out this offseason that Oladipo was just asking players to make space on his team. Bad chemistry in Indiana. No one wants to play for Indiana. I don't think they're going to be that good. Celtics.
Man. Okay. I'm going to say a split. But then they come home on the back-to-back and take care of business against Memphis. I think this is a step back this year for Memphis. I think it's going to be one of those like, they overachieved last year. A couple of the key players, key veterans that were part of that overachieving are gone. And now everybody's going to be like, oh, wow, let's see what Memphis does. And they kind of like step back a little bit. So I'm going to put this down as a Celtics win.
I do feel like that Memphis situation has the classic, everyone thinks they're there because they almost got a playoff spot. It kind of feels like the Kings when they had that really fun year and then just didn't have enough the following year. I'm kind of with you on Memphis. The only thing that could go the other way is because Ja Morant is just really good.
Yeah, I mean,
not in Boston. He had his worst game of his professional career last year in the Garden. He was awful.
I still think Celtics beat Grizzlies, even though Ja Morant is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to win. Mostly because the Celtics are good. I just wanted to use this time to bring up the fact that the Memphis Zoo got a new baby giraffe and they named it Ja-Raff, which I thought was clever.
That is a clever. It's a clever little play. and Ja Morant went and visited the Giraffe, and that was
that's good content.
That was a cute Twitter moment. I appreciated that. All right, Celtics. This is the first big road trip of the season. Detroit, Toronto, Miami. Now, originally, I was like, okay, Detroit, Toronto. That's not a big switch. But Toronto's playing in Tampa. I forgot about that. So Celtics play two back-to-backs in Detroit. Detroit's going to be horrible. So those are two wins. There's no way they lose one of those games.
Hold on. The Sunday game is 3 p.m. in Detroit. They play Friday in Detroit. That means they have all Saturday to get up to who knows what in Detroit. They've got casinos. They've got an airport that's 40 miles away from
the pandemic. This is a pandemic. This isn't normal times when you could just go to the casino and rock out. If you go to the casino, you might lose your organization some draft picks up in here.
So maybe they get some extra edibles and they just have a real bad trip in Detroit. Something bad is going to happen on January 2nd in Detroit.
Why are you acting like Detroit is Miami? Why are you acting like there's no pandemic? This is the wildest take yet, that a night in Detroit –
Have you spent a weekend in Detroit?
That Detroit food is going to take over.
Who knows what happens in that weekend? How are they going to spend their time?
I'll tell you
it's
what.
Really unaccounted for, and I'm just weary of it. I think
spend
they
spend their
lose.
Time beating Killian Hayes and a bunch of mediocre center.
That's channeling The Rock. It doesn't matter what happens in Detroit. They're going to win that game on Sunday, no doubt about it.
How old is that reference?
Very old, but fans of The Rock and WWE will get it.
Can you smell what Corrales is cooking?
Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
So, Toronto. Now, the back-to-back is Detroit-Toronto, which under normal circumstances wouldn't have been so bad. You can swim to Toronto from Detroit. But they're playing in Tampa. So Detroit to Tampa, I know it's an early game. I don't like it. I don't like the flight. I don't like the quick turnaround. I think revenge Toronto for losing that series. Toronto wins this game.
Tampa's going to whip their ass. Aaron Baines versus Tristan Thompson is going to be a lot of fun.
Can we call them the Tampa Bay Raptors? Can we just call them that?
Yeah, that's what
we know
are.
If they're playing in Tampa or St. Pete. Do we know where the actual games are going to – is it in the Trop? Is it in the old Devil Race Stadium?
I don't know. That's cares, a good – oh, my God. Can you imagine if they played like –
Who cares, Jay? This is a major impact on whether or not they're going to win. If they're in St. Pete, they're losers. You ever been to St. Pete? There's nothing there.
Nobody's ever beaten Fred Van Vliet in St. Petersburg.
Is that true? Has Wichita State have a bunch of games in St. Pete?
Van Vlietersburg.
I don't like you.
So the Tampa Bay Raptors, I think, beat the Celtics. What's the official word here? Yeah, you guys agree?
Raptors smoke them. That's going to be the first blowout loss of the season for the Celtics. They won't be able without Kemba, they're not going to be able to keep up with Lowry, Fred Van Vliet, and the boys.
Okay.
The Raptors got worse. The Raptors lost Serge Ibaka and Marcus Gasol, who's not very good.
Picked up Alex Len, bro.
Sick, dude. Sick, bro. That Raptors development system is just going to turn Alex Len into a super proficient guy.
OG Anunoby could take a step forward.
Could, yeah. I mean, Pascal Siakam
may not poo himself during games like he did in the second round.
That's going to be a win for the Celtics. They're not losing to the Tampa Bay.
I think there's the possibility here also considering the quick schedule here. There's five games in December, 6-7. I think that might be a rest game. I wouldn't be surprised if they gave like Tatum or somebody like a night off there, because they're going to really have to. They're going to really have to pick their spots with guys having nights off. And I think they're going to start doing that early. They're really going to take advantage of this liberal rest policy. So don't be surprised if, Now, that night off might also come the previous day in Detroit. So that's also a possibility too. But one of those days, I think, is ripe for a day off or night off for one of these guys at least. So
now that's the first week of January. When do you guys think Kemba is going to be playing? Jay, you already said you don't think he's going to be in that game against Toronto. When do we expect Kemba to be actually back in the lineup?
They said he could start on-court work again sometime in early December. So I'm assuming he's either started that or starting that soon. Then you got to expect they're going to take things really slow with him. I wouldn't expect him to like mid-January at the earliest.
Yep, I would agree with that.
But that's a total guess. Like I don't have any information on that.
No, I agree with that. And I think you start looking around the schedule to see which of these teams might have like maybe a weak point guard that isn't going to make Kemba's life too hard. So, I mean, maybe and even when Kemba comes back, what do you think his first game minutes is going to be? Like
20.
15? No way. I don't even think it's 20. I think he's going to get like 2 8-minute stints. Like 8 minutes in the first quarter, you're done. Go, stretch, whatever. 8 minutes in the third quarter, and then you're done.
And then he's going to be on a Zoom call after the game, and he's going to be like, hey, Kemba, what's it like to be out there? And he's going to be pissed off that he only played two stints, but smiling the whole time.
He played 20 minutes in his first game back after the bubble.
Yeah, and then Danny Ainge just called like their approach there a mistake. So I think they're going to dial it back a little bit. I just don't think that they're going to take – it's not important for them. This is not important for them.
I'll tell you what, though. It could be kind of important because the East is no joke. And there will actually be home court advantage this year in the playoffs. There could even be fans by the time the playoffs roll around in some form or fashion.
Sure.
If you're the fourth seed, the fifth seed, it's going to be a tough, tough route through the Heat, the Bucks, the Nets, the Raptors, whoever else. It's just going to be tough. And maybe the Sixers.
They're not going to make it without a healthy Kemba.
I'm with you. It's absolutely the priority. And the seeding should not even factor into their equation. But I do think like it actually will matter if he's out for a while and they slide down the standings.
Yep.
And they're handing regular minutes to dudes who probably shouldn't have them for a while.
I just see that as they'd rather take this time to slowly ramp him up. And so when I say slowly, I think it's really going to be when I say 8 minutes, like I take this like purposefully, you go out there, you play like a normal stint, 6, 7, 8 minutes, come out, go in the back, get evaluated. How do you feel? How does it? Then you take the entire second quarter to start to ramp yourself back up, go through your pregame routine again. And then third quarter, boom, you go out there and then you come back in the fourth quarter, go through your evaluations. I just don't see. We're talking about the difference between 16 and 20 minutes, but I just don't think they're going to push him any more than they have to. And I think the first few games back are going to be that very evaluation focused type of thing for him. So I don't see him coming out and saying, yeah, I'm okay. And then going back in, they're going to probably go in the back, get whatever screening, do whatever testing, have him like whatever. So I just don't see him back in this time frame that we're talking about. Certainly not back in time for this Miami game on the 6th, which I think the Celtics win, by the way.
Ooh, revenge game.
The revenge game. I'm also not 100% a believer in everything that went right for Miami in the bubble. They're good. They're really good.
Yeah, I made the same mistake downplaying Heat culture left and right, and then it comes back and bites you in the ass.
I think the Heat culture thing actually was what was real in the bubble. And maybe by the time this game actually rolls around, I will change my mind. But I think obviously Miami's very good. Obviously Jimmy Butler is like a gamer superstar. Like, he's just awesome. Like, and it doesn't quit and all that shit. Bam Adebayo, I fully believe in. I want to see it again from Tyler Hero. I want to see it again from Duncan Robinson. I just kind of want to see it consistently from them throughout this regular season. The bubble run, awesome. Not going to take anything away from them. I just, at this point, I kind of like, all right, that was good. I think the Heat culture thing, everybody bought into that. The bubble was a perfect environment for, quote unquote, Heat culture to really take over.
For big face coffee.
Big, all that stuff. I think they, look, they thrived in that environment. Good for them. Good for them. That is amazing that they thrived in that bubble. But now I want to see it in real life. So I'm going to say Celtics win this game.
I'm kind of with you on the Heat. I think there are a number of things that went really right for them that won't necessarily go right for them again. Goran Dragic played about as well as he ever has, and then he dealt with an injury during the finals. He might not be the same coming back. They lost Jake Crowder, who was important to them. I think the one way that they reached that same level or better again, or the easiest way, the most likely way, is that Bam just takes another level. Because I think Bam, even though he was so improved last year, still has another level to reach as a playmaker, as a finisher, as a scorer. And if he does that, which I think he might be capable of, then they're all of a sudden super, super dangerous again.
I agree. I think Bam is like, can safely be like your favorite non-Celtic. If you're like looking for a player in the league that you could look at and be like, you know what, this dude's just good. I like watching him play. There's nothing not to like about Bam Adebayo. The video of him buying his mom the house, awesome. Like, this guy is just a good basketball player, a hard worker, works his ass off, deserves everything that he's got. I buy into all of that. But let's see. Let me just see. Again, by the time we get to this game, I might have been convinced about Miami. But right now, I'm still in kind of prove it mode.
So. And Hero might be really freaking good.
Oh, certainly. Certainly. I just want to see it consistently during the regular season.
So, Jay, what are you picking?
Heat are going to win this one. Two-game losing streak for the Celtics, despite Semi Ojeleye's 21.
Oh, good one. Jan, what do you have?
I have the Celtics losing. I mean, I just think it's going to be early in the season. As soon as that zone comes out there, they're just not going to know what to do with it.
They will be ready for the fucking zone. They better be ready for the fucking zone.
They have no training camp.
Avery Smith has 8 3-pointers and 32 points.
With 49 points.
Yeah, we'll shoot out over the top of this time. Okay, this is going to be an interesting game. Friday, January 8th, Washington Wizards. What do you think of the Wizards?
I think they are more exciting than last season. Sure. I think they will be better than last season. I don't think that's a very good basketball team. I think there are still too many weak links over there, and guys that aren't very good at basketball, and guys that don't want to play defense. But Russell Westbrook will help you win games. He can help you lose games and some of the most important games, but he will help you win games. And he'll definitely turn them into a lot more competitive roster, especially considering they literally gave up a dude who hasn't played in 2 years to get Russell Westbrook, who for like 3 months last year was awesome. And I'm a Russell Westbrook hater. For 3 months last year, he was awesome. The Celtics still win this one.
I immediately typed in 3 wins across the board because that's how little I believe in the Washington Wizards. They gave up, felt like, an average of 130 points a game last year. And Russell Westbrook's not coming in and really just stopping anything on the defensive end. They're still going to be bad at defense. Russell Westbrook's just going to be beefing with Fred Katz and Scott Brooks the entire time. I just don't see it going well for any basketball fans in Washington.
Yeah, that is accurate. You can put me down for a W there. But I will say that this has the potential to be a like 135 to 125 win, because I do think that Washington can put up a ton of points. They do have the right formula for Westbrook to score a bunch of points. They do have shooting on that team. So I think if it really just depends on, can Beal and Westbrook work well together? And if they can, I think early on in the season, before either of them wear on the other, mostly Westbrook wearing on Beal, I think they can figure it out. But I still have the Celtics winning this game, but this one could be like a fun one to watch. Miami back on Sunday, January 10th. Jam.
Oh, that's a win. This is when the real revenge comes in, because they figure out the zone over those 4 days. They have a two-a-day on that Friday in between. Everything's figuring out. They're going to be coming into the Garden. The JetBlue flight crew is going to prep something nice to get rid of the players really pumped up. I think that's when the Celtics start to deliver a win.
I think the Celtics win that one. I think Aaron Nesmith scores 53 points while showing Duncan Robinson who the real Duncan Robinson is.
Okay.
The new Slim Shady in town. No, I'm totally kidding. Aaron Nesmith will probably score less than 6 points a game.
What do you think is the most points Aaron Nesmith scores in a game this year? Realistically.
I think he has one game where he hits like 4 3-pointers. So, and then whatever else after that. So
12 points.
Well, no, but like that, I mean, that's so after that, like, you know, you give him like a layup or two. I think like a 16 to 18 point game is certainly possible. He can come in and get hot and yeah. Like, I don't think he's going to have a score.
22 points Sunday, January 24th against the Cleveland Cavaliers after playing the entire fourth quarter because it's garbage minutes.
Right. There's also that. There's
the old
also
Carson that Edwards preseason type of Cavaliers performance.
I'm sorry we got ahead of ourselves there, but I had to lock in my Nesmith prediction. Green Bean.
I gotcha.
Like Green Smith.
You know what? I'll say the Celtics win this too. That is a purely optimistic selection. I have no rationale for it.
Are you at all excited for Tristan Thompson to handle the BAMs of the world and to have for the Celtics to have a big man with strength who can move his feet?
He can move his feet and like get in front of a, you know, defend a pick and roll. Yes, that's going to be nice to watch. When I'm going to be excited to watch a guy set a pick and then move to the appropriate spot on the floor rather than just dive to the basket and clog the lane so the driver misses the shot because it's getting contested layups and then puts in an offensive rebound, because that's what Cantor did every damn time. I think that I'm really going to be interested to see Tristan Thompson and how he handles Bam Adebayo, because if the Celtics had Tristan Thompson against Bam Adebayo, you'd think like, all right, he would have at least gotten in front of him a few times, but it'll be a test to see how good Adebayo has gotten as well. So it will be an interesting thing to watch. I say the Celtics win on January 10th against Miami. Then they play Chicago on the 12th, front end of a back-to-back. You shouldn't lose to Chicago. I think they're going to win that game.
I already put in wins across the board for everyone.
Yep. Same thing with that next. They got a home series against Orlando Wednesday, Friday. The Wednesday game's on the back-to-back. But my feeling, and it never goes this way, so I don't know why I predict it, but the Chicago game is a complete blowout. Fourth quarter, just starters sit, so they're going to be fresh versus Orlando. I'm not worried about the back-to-back. I'm chalking up. This is going to be, what, 5-6? Wow, I got a 6-game winning streak here?
I've got a wild prediction for January 12th versus the Chicago Bulls.
Uh-oh.
That will be Tremont Waters starting at point guard that game.
Because of a Jeff Teague
combination
injury?
Of injuries and misfortune, Tremont Waters
that could
will start,
be COVID.
Start up.
We haven't factored
guard.
In a possible COVID positive test into these games at all. It really could take out.
So you're saying that by going to Miami, someone can't resist, and then by the time they get back home, someone tests positive on the 11th. Is that what you're saying? The Miami
That's
flu,
exactly what Jay is saying.
AKA COVID.
I've never said that. A specific player, Jeff Teague, was going to get COVID because he's irresponsible. And that's Jay King of The Athletic saying that.
That was not at all what I said or intended. But Tremont Waters, 7 assists. Celtics topple the Chicago Bulls 113-104.
Oh, I already had penciled you in for a win against the Bulls. I had moved on to Orlando already.
Yeah.
So pick Orlando the next night, Jay, after Tremont Waters has an amazing performance.
Orlando, Tremont, no longer starting at point guard. Celtics still beat the Magic. I can't even think of fun things to say about the Magic other than maybe Aaron Gordon is a trade exception candidate.
Sure.
That's like the most exciting thing you can say about the Magic.
Is Orlando like – how many of the Orlando Magic do you think would work in Boston with that traded player exception? Because I feel like all of them are possible.
Yeah, I feel like Gordon would be the premier candidate to me just because he's young and I think he fits more of the timeline. And for some reason, I know Evan Fournier is only 28, but he's like at least 35 to me. There's something about him. There's something about his game. He's at least 35. I also think the Celtics, with the exception of their point guards over the last few years, have really built their reputation, their mentality, their roster on versatility. And I think Aaron Gordon, especially defensively, can give you a lot of that. And I think he has another level to reach that he hasn't shown in Orlando, due partly to roster construction. And I think in a different situation that he could provide more.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. He's making like $18 million, and then it drops to like $16.5 million next year. So he's under contract for one more year. You get 2 years under control. I think that's right. That's the first place you'd go. I'd see if Terrence Ross is possible at like $13 million, and he's under contract for 3 more years.
I don't think him and Javante can be in the same locker room after the battles they had last season.
True, possible. Somebody's going to have to go if they do use the trade exception. So,
on the other hand, Terrence Ross going to Boston would mean he would never have to play Javante Green again. That could be a positive for him.
That could be. I think I'd put Fournier third on my list of if I was rating the Orlando Magic. So, Gordon, Terrence Ross, Aaron Fournier. Because Fournier is under contract for one more year. But anyway, we're going to get
No, no, no. The answer is Markelle Fultz, people. They have long-term issues with Kemba's health and his knee. Remember those pictures of Markelle
Fultz? That would
Fultz
be amazing.
Visiting the Garden when he thought he was going to be the number one pick, and it's just like Markelle kind of just looking sad, staring out over the rafters. There was a moment there that the Celtics could recapture, and that's why I'm picking them to lose the first game against Orlando, because Markelle Fultz is – if Tremont's not even starting in this game and they got no Jeff Teague, I'm predicting a huge Markelle game. This is Markelle coming out of his shell.
Markelle coming out of his shell. Somebody ring the bell. That would be swell.
Well, well, well.
I'm going to be sick as hell. It would be awesome for Danny Ainge to somehow get Markelle Fultz after all of that, to get Jason Tatum and Fultz on the same team and then have Fultz really like be productive. That would be awesome. I just can't see the Celtics losing either of these two games, which means they'll probably
these series games, by the way, and they haven't even started yet. Like who wants to watch the Magic twice in a row? Who wants to play the Magic twice in a row?
Why they're going to lose
anything to do with the Orlando Magic twice in a row?
It's going to be a back to back.
You know what? You convinced me.
Forward.
I'm going to do a split. I said 2 wins, but I'm going to do a split. I can't do six wins in a row. There's going to be a split here. So,
okay, do the Celtics sweep the lowly Orlando Magic?
No, yeah. No.
They sweep them, and then they go to New York, and they beat the Knicks by a lot.
That's a home game on Sunday.
They go to Boston and beat the Knicks by a lot.
So I'll do a split in Orlando, and yes, they win They beat New York, and then they go to Philly. Wait. Actually, Jam, sorry. You did not.
You don't have to ask me. It's New York. It's New York Knicks. They're not going to lose.
Two games in Philly, which I don't know what you guys feel about Philly, but I think they did a pretty nice job this offseason. And I think really the biggest thing that they got is structure around Embiid and Simmons, like a coaching staff that is professional and will, like, I don't want to...
Sexier pants?
That's right. They do have sexier pants in that locker room. But I think getting Doc and getting some of the veteran guys that they have on on the staff and getting Morey in, I just think there's discipline, structure built into the system that these guys are going to be held accountable.
That team had last year.
I think it's a little different when you got, Kawhi Leonard,
Joel Embiid, and Ben Simmons, who have never had structure. I agree. It should be different. No,
you know what I'm talking about, because Doc. I'm not saying that Doc is like, yeah, you're right. It's a fair point about what happened to the Clippers, but like, I think him coming in here and like he's brought in with some cachet. Like he's brought in to like not lay the hammer down, but like, hey guys, like, a little maturity here. Let's go.
I'm actually with you. I was playing devil's advocate there, just being a jackass. But I'm with you.
You do well.
Doc will definitely help out there. I think there are two things about that roster. One, it makes way more sense. I expect Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid to be a lot better just because the players around them fit next to them. I also think they had to sacrifice talent to get their current roster. Like, they got rid of Al Horford, who's more talented than any of the guys they picked up. They got rid of Josh Richardson, who's more talented than any of the guys they picked up. And last time that team almost really competed and pushed the eventual champion Raptors to game 7, Jimmy Butler was that team's best player, and he's long gone. So I'm not sure the Sixers have enough talent. But I want to see Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid again with the right type of mix around them. And I'm interested to see how those guys play now that they're freed from the dog mess that was that roster last year.
So I'm going to say they lose on the 20th. I think they split this. I'll say they split this. They lose on the 20th. They win on the 22nd.
I'm going with the split, too.
What order, though? This is important.
Which order?
They are going to win the first one, lose the second.
All right. I have them losing both games. This is going to be the low point. Celtics Twitter is going to be going fucking insane. They're going to be like, trade for a big man. We need to get Vucevic in here. We need to get Steven Adams in here. They're going to be absolutely ripping their hair out. And I just think it's because the Celtics don't really have a great answer for Joel Embiid. And it's still early in the season. Joel Embiid will not be out of shape yet. I think he'll play motivated. And sometimes you just lose some games. And so I think this is the low point. People are going to be upset. They're going to be mad online. Kemba is just – they're going to be like, where's Kemba? Why is he not playing? It's just not going to be the perfect game yet. And I just think it's going to be the low point of the season, January 22nd. It's going to be bad. I'm just not feeling good things about that two games in Philadelphia. We don't know what's going to happen in Philadelphia on that Thursday between those two games. You thought Detroit was bad. My God.
right. That's crazy. Okay. Yeah, boy, Anna Horford's mentions are going to be a mess if the Celtics lose both games. Cleveland at home on Sunday, January 24th.
That's the Aaron Nesmith 22-point spectacular that many people are talking about.
No, I'm going to mark it down right here. This is the Kemba Walker return.
Ooh.
But he is. Both could happen. Both Kemba Walker could return, propel the team to such a lofty margin of victory that Nesmith plays the entire fourth quarter.
Okay. So this is his first game back, Jay.
That is my totally un...
No, right. I'm not saying you're reporting.
Oh, yeah. Our other takes here were pretty substantial and scientific. But
just want to make clear, is totally uneducated. And I wouldn't be surprised if he lasts longer than that.
Let's not go all hoop collective and say, don't aggregate me.
Kemba scores 12 points over 20 minutes, not 16 minutes, John.
20 points? And,
no, 12 points. 12 points over 20 minutes.
I can see that, but not the 20 minutes. 16.
And Celtics win.
Celtics win.
And maybe Aaron Nesmith scores 22 points.
I like that. This is going to be a game. You know what? This is going to be another rest game. This is going to be resting at home. It's against a bad team. You're going on a back-to-back. This is going to be somebody sitting this game. So I still think they win. It might be a little closer, but it might be like you might see a bit of Carson Edwards in this game. See if you can get that Cleveland magic.
That was some good old Cleveland magic last year.
Mm-hmm. And then they go to Chicago and blow out the Chicago Bulls. Everyone in agreement?
You're here.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. Then San Antonio, the 27th.
Because of COVID, they're not going to be able to enjoy the Riverwalk. So let's all take that into account. You know how players love that Riverwalk.
That's true.
Never heard that as a thing before.
Well, I just that's made it true. Up.
It's a big Riverwalk thing. Guys cannot resist the Riverwalk in the NBA. I just realized the Celtics are not playing on Martin Luther King Day. They got Christmas, but not MLK Day. Interesting. All right. Anyway, I'm going to put this down as a loss in San Antonio. I don't know. San Antonio's not good. But something about it. They just don't play well.
You don't think DeMar DeRozan is going to be on an absolute tear after being ranked the 77th best player in basketball? You don't think he's going to be upset with Kevin O'Connor in his corner, massaging his shoulders a bit, saying, you're better than this. You can step back and hit that three ball. You don't see that happening? Because I don't. I think the Celtics are going to win.
I don't know. I'm just going to put it down as a loss because they got to lose some games. I feel like the Celtics – I'm picking a lot of wins, but when I came into this, I was like, I don't think they're going to win as much as we think. So suddenly, like game to game, I'm like, all right, this seems like a win. This seems like a win. I feel like my record's going to come out better than I thought it was. So I feel like I have to pile in some losses here, and the Spurs game there is going to be a loss.
Yeah, that's going to be a loss for me too. San Antonio is a tough place to play. I like what I'm seeing about LaMarcus Aldridge shooting more threes this year. I just feel like the Spurs are not the most interesting team, but they've got a little talent. They've still got Popovich. It's still not an easy place to play on the road. That is going to be a Celtics loss.
Yeah.
Strong disagree. Big Celtics win. They got a couple days off after that, gearing up for playing Los Angeles. The Spurs just aren't very good. DeMar DeRozan is trash. I don't care what Kevin O'Connor says. They're just not a very talented team.
Okay, fine. Lakers at home, January 30th, 8:30 p.m.
This will be Kemba's return. Big time spotlight against the Lakers. Kemba returns, plays 20 minutes, and is mildly effective. Celtics lose.
He's mildly effective. I'm going to peg this for a loss. LeBron's going to have to play. So he's not going to play much. So this is going to be a game where LeBron comes out and he's going to show out. I think this is the Lakers have just gotten too good. I like the additions that they've made. I'm kind of in agreement with most people that they've done the things that they need to do to shore up some of the holes that they had in a roster that just won the NBA championship. So I think this is going to be a loss. It's tough for me to say, but that's what I say.
Lakers are going to smoke the Celtics. This is going to be a blowout loss. It's going to be
blowout loss on national TV. Loss.
It's going to be an ugly loss. It's going to be Montrezl Harrell like really excited about scoring 20 something points. Brad's going to be disappointed afterward. I don't know why. I'm just feeling like
I think this
will not be a good game for the Celtics.
I do think that Montrezl Harrell is going to have a good like first half of the season. I think with guys resting, I think with, you know, like Marc Gasol, not like how much is Marc Gasol going to play? How much production is he going to give them early on? If anything, you save Marc Gasol for the end of the year in the playoffs. So I think there's going to be a big Montrezl Harrell for at least first few months. Then he might tail off, but I agree with the Montrezl Harrell shout out there. So I don't think it's going to be a blowout loss though, because I think national TV guys are going to be inspired. They're not going to go out like that on national TV. So, but I do think the Lakers win. Then,
and I also want to point out, contrary to what I just said about how the Celtics are going to get cracked, Jason Tatum has built a habit, or at least had one last year, of really leaking on the LA teams. He went bonkers against the LA teams. He destroyed the Clippers twice, even though the Clippers won one of those games. He went wild against the Lakers, really mutilated Anthony Davis when Anthony Davis tried to guard him. So that could be a trend to watch out. Jason Tatum playing big in bigger regular season games.
Specifically against teams from Los Angeles. Last year, Los Angeles Lakers came into Boston, and I was telling everyone I could talk to in the media room that the Lakers were going to win by 20, that there was zero chance that the Celtics were going to win that game. And then the Celtics absolutely worked the Los Angeles Lakers. LeBron was late. He was watching his Bronny at Hoop Hall. He barely even tried. Everyone was having a good time. So clearly, I know what I'm talking about here, but I still think the
obviously that was just part one. Remember, part two is tomorrow on Anything Is Potable. One thing that was cut out at the beginning, I was joking around with them saying, like, every time I see them, I remember how much I love those guys. And we joke at and bust each other's balls on Twitter, but it was so much fun. And when we get together, it's such a good time. And maybe someday, somehow, we'll all get together again to do a podcast on a more regular basis. But I think if you can fit Anything Is Potable into your routine with Locked On Celtics, I would suggest it. I mean, I think you should listen to Locked On Celtics first, but then you should listen to Anything Is Potable. You should not listen to Anything Is Potable without listening to Locked On Celtics first. And this is a daily podcast, so there's 5 days a week. They do, I think, two. So, you know, I think it's easy to kind of sneak in an extra episode or two from them. So, but seriously, me first. All right? Promise me, me first. Cool? Cool. All right. I don't know what else to say. I love those guys. This was fun. And part two is tomorrow on Anything Is Potable. New listeners, you got to subscribe. You got to subscribe because this podcast is coming at you Monday through Friday. Regular listeners, I hope you've given this show 5 stars. I hope you've given it a good written review. If you haven't, please do that. And of course, share the podcast. Please tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.